probably zap. It's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. I see with something mean is supposed to be. You believe, but I told that be so awesome and that down and be amazing. But enough about me. Yes, we all played the part to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would have been canned a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Baby mood, I didn't got it wrong. We call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame us for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy home.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Yours. This is episode 275. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, the man, the myth, the legend, Alex.
I kind of thought you were going to go to Mark there first. Damn it, you know what? I was the one who said we need to settle on one name for him, and I keep bouncing back and forth between one, two, or three. Lucia. I thought you were going to go to Lucia first, but you threw me a curveball, and now I'm just ranting like an asshole.
Also with us, the man he thought I was going to go to, Mark, the Lucia, the Iron Vein.
God, you son of a bitch, you just had to do that.
I had no hype behind that. Like, I thought you were gonna like say some nice adjectives about me, be like the new permanent member who's amazing, rocks out Chewbacca onesies on the daily.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's
destroyer
still got
of Chipotle.
He's still got that new car smell, and he will wear a Chewbacca onesie better than anyone you know. It's Lucia.
That's it. That's permanent. That's how it's gonna be.
All right, we don't have a yield this week because apparently he has yielded to himself. But we are bringing back an old favorite of the show. It's Candace.
Hi. Hi. A lot of stuff going on right now. I'm a little overwhelmed. But hello.
Yes. Yes. It's been about 2, maybe 3 years since you've been on the show.
It's been a little bit, yeah. Yeah. You have a new guy. I'm still trying to get used to what I'm supposed to call him.
You can call him Dickhead for all he cares.
Wow.
I'm going to call him Mark. Can I call him Mark?
That's fine. That's completely fine.
Okay.
It's better than Tricky's option.
But you know what? I'm really glad that you're on the show now.
Thank you.
Yes.
See, that someone appreciates it.
What are you talking about? I was the one who volleyed.
Oh, I know. No, no. Well, that was a shot at Tricky.
It's always Tricky. It's always Tricky's fault.
Yeah.
Tricky,
it's always Tricky. When we have a guest on the show validate me on the show, that's a totally different situation. I'm just like,
Tricky won't even let you have your own wrestling podcast on the network.
We'd have to do that.
Well, you know what? It's probably for the best.
Oh, there's already a wrestling podcast on the network.
Right.
Of course there is.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Listen to Matt and Jeremy on the Smart Marks, only on ProvenGamer.com. How's that for advertising?
What the hell?
You're really good at this, Alex.
I've had some practice. Mm-hmm. Hey, Tricky, how about we get into the show?
Segue.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the show, but I keep
smoking.
My mind. No, I'm sitting right here. Where the hell am I smoking?
We can see him.
You will smoke in the
house. Yes.
Look, I did not have my Skype up, and I did not see you with your Zelda shirt on.
Yes.
I'd like to point
out. It's dangerous to go alone.
I'm going to show my Zelda knowledge. Because I love Ocarina of Time. You got the three spiritual stones up there.
Yes, I do.
Zora Sapphire, the Goron Ruby, and the Korkiri Emerald. Good on you, sir.
And you know what it says? I know you can't see it, but you know what it says at the bottom?
No.
Here, let's see.
It's
dangerous to go alone.
Tricky, I can't fucking read that. Why would you ever think that I could read that?
You know, my favorite part of this podcast so far is us talking about the visuals that are going on.
We're painting a picture for everybody.
Yes, we sure are.
If we're going to talk about Zelda, can I point out that Zelda came out a week before I was born 30 years ago? So, if anything, I'm the go-to Zelda person. I was raised on Zelda.
So you only know Zelda as a historic event, then?
No. I just know I haven't played any recent games in the last 6 years because they're all garbage. I think the last one I played was season one.
Wait,
ones.
You just brought somebody on the show that hasn't played a game?
We've had people on this show that have taken off. Well, you were here for the Jeff Hanna podcast, or one of the Jeff Hanna podcasts, when he talked about hating trophies and not wanting any.
Oh, dear.
Let's go to our updated trophy count. I am level 30, total trophies of 7,391, with a plaque count of 63. Alex?
I am level 28. I have 5,741 trophies, and I have 81 platinums in 80 games. Because I am leading in platinums now that Donnie is gone.
And yield is level 23. Total trophies of 4,236 with a plat count of 60. Mark?
I am level 26 with a trophy count of 6,318 with only 26 platinums, but hey, I'm still in second place for total trophy count.
And
I'm still
which is the more important.
We're not talking about this again. And you already made a poll about it.
And you have that Chewbacca onesie, and no one can take that away from you.
Boom. That adds 30 platinums.
And Candace?
I would love to actually find out. I loaded up my PlayStation.com profile, and it's showing nothing there. So, it's really impressive. I think I have 2 platinums. Yeah, I'm not anywhere as prolific as you guys are, and that is always going to be the way it is. So, I'm used to this. It's a good one, though. I think I'm. Yeah.
Maybe The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of my platinums, actually, Alex, you helped me get.
Resident Evil 5.
Yep.
You know, I think.
Are we still friends on the PlayStation Network?
God, if I know. How would I even know?
I feel like if you have a PlayStation or an Xbox and you don't have the Walking Dead Platinum or S rank or whatever the hell it is on Xbox, that I don't know. I feel like you're just
not really.
I'm trying to think of something good, but I can't think of something. Damn it!
I'm just trying to find out if you're trying to start a fight. Yeah, if this loads for you, maybe you guys can tell me what the hell it is. I know so far, I got nothing. But yeah, so you guys are always going to have better trophy scores than me.
Well,
what is your PSN ID?
It's right there in the chat. Right there.
Oh.
All you.
I wasn't looking at that.
But yeah, so good job, guys. I'm really happy for you guys though. You guys got good trophies. Honestly.
Her trophies are not public.
Oh, maybe that's why. Yeah, I put all my privacy settings on. Ah, well, good. Good.
All right, well, we don't know what Candace's trophy count is.
It's not important. I'm
All right, let's get on to what we're playing. Mark, what have you been playing, buddy?
Honestly, not much. I'm just working on my backlog of reviews, and I'm waiting until next week so I could, or well, technically this week, so I could play episode 2 of Batman from Telltale, because, you know, it's Batman. And I did.
Really? Because with the new update on the PlayStation 4, it says you haven't been on the PlayStation 4 in over a month.
I know, because I've been offline, because I have a video game stalker.
Do we need to get a restraining order for this stalker?
Just
no,
make your profile private like I do.
I get tons of, like, I have friends that, like, in real life that I grew up with stuff that I play video games with, but I'm tired of getting, like, invites the second I'm on to play Destiny or The Division.
I'm sorry.
So I just appear offline.
Somebody has to flesh out my fire team.
And so I just avoid being online. Like, and I, like, plus I've been playing, you know, PlayStation TV.
Hold on, wait, Mark, not lately. Lucia, damn it. Lucia, do you actually get people requesting to play Division with you?
Yeah.
I thought
somebody's playing the Division?
I thought Tricky was the only one who could play shit games.
No, well, I have a lot of friends who have finally, like, jumped ship from, like, Xbox and got PS4s, and they're like, oh, I'm going to get the Division, because, like, it was, like, basically giving it away for free at stores because no one wants to buy it.
Well, guess what? They jumped to the wrong fucking ship.
And then I'm just like, you guys are really building a division in our friendship by inviting me to play this? Tricky's so mad. But no, they're actually just... They're literally just sending me Destiny invites. They're not sending me Division ones. I just wanted to see if I could get a reaction out of Tricky. But no, I haven't really had... I mean, with the move and everything, I haven't had time to play anything. And I'm probably not really going to go deep on games until the end of the month.
Go deep on games. #deepongames.
Until Horizon Zero Dawn comes out.
Oh, that comes out on my birthday.
That's the new shit right there. Give me all of that girl.
And Alex,
what do you want?
What have you been playing, buddy?
Nothing. I actually have a story about this. Previously, I've been playing Shovel Knight. I'm still trying to work towards the platinum in that, which I'm never going to get because difficult. But, so, last Friday, this is a spider story, and as you all know, Tricky does not like spiders, so I'll try to make this as easy as possible on Tricky. So
thank you.
I was in my room, and I noticed a spider that looked a lot like a brown recluse. Now, I don't mind spiders, but if you're a poisonous spider, fuck, you gotta go. Like, I'm not dealing with that shit. So I tried to kill a spider. I had a garbage can trying to smash it, and I actually got it cornered in the room, and it looked dead. The scary thing is it fucking played dead, because as soon as I unpinned it with that trash can, it fucking ran towards the bed. And that spider disappeared under the bed, and I'm like, fuck this. Look, like I said, I have no problem with spiders, but if you're a poisonous spider and I have no idea where you are in a room, I'm not staying in that room. So, I have not been in that room except to get clothes and sleeping on the couch. And, yeah, I mean, I could always bring out my TV and PlayStation, but I don't know. With the house and everything coming up, I close on the 30th. There's a little bit too much to do to play games, so.
Yeah, it's funny because everybody knows I hate spiders. Somebody sent me a picture of a spider, and it says, "What if the spider you killed in your home has spent his entire life thinking you were his roommate? You ever think about that? No, you only think of yourself, you selfish prick."
I just want to point out, I didn't know you didn't like spiders. I'm sorry, I now know that.
You know what Tricky really loves? Like, Nate Nelson loves the Seattle Seahawks, and, like, you love Chewbacca onesies. Tricky loves giant inflatable spiders for Halloween.
Do you?
No.
We should all send him one.
Funny story, last week we were recording, and I took it out of the show when I edited it. We were doing the show, and I had the TV on because I was watching the end of the Giants game. And all of a sudden, a commercial for American Horror Story came on. And it was a spider jumped at the screen, and I nearly had a heart attack because I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And it didn't dawn on me that it was on the TV. I thought like a huge-ass spider was jumping at me.
There was one.
No, but I definitely felt my heart pounding.
There was one night in the middle of the night where I swore I woke up and I looked on my pillow and I thought I saw a black widow. And I will tell you that I have never gotten out of bed so quickly in my life. I have never moved as quickly. I was like a cheetah getting out of that bed.
Am I the only one who hates spiders? But anytime they would, like, when I was back home on the farm, like, I would see one that wasn't poisonous, I would purposely try and get bit by it so I could wake up the next morning with, like, powers and abs and stuff. Because, like, I literally have been bitten by, like, 6 spiders in my life, hoping I could get powers. Yeah, that's actually not even a joke. That is a legit thing I've done.
Yeah, I'm not actually afraid of spiders. I don't want to play with them. I don't want to, you know, fuck around with them or anything. But, I mean, I live, you know, where there's black widows everywhere. And I've been bitten by a black widow and put in the hospital. So I just don't know. Once you've been bitten by something that terrifying, other spiders just don't really. I mean, we have camel spiders here. So, yeah, it doesn't really affect me. Like, a few weeks ago, I was laying in bed, my kid was with me. She's 15, mind you. We're laying in bed, we're watching a movie, and all of a sudden there's this black thing on the comforter. And I didn't panic. She leapt out of bed, completely lost her mind. And what it was a cricket. It was a cricket. Now, once I said, "Bella, it's a cricket," I kind of expected her to calm down. She got more terrified. Like she was screaming. She's like, I've never even heard her scream like this. Spiders we have dealt with without the amount of screaming over a cricket. And she's like, kill it. And I'm like, I'm not killing the cricket. It's not going to hurt anything. Like, just scoot it out of here. It's not a big deal. You know, open the patio door and just scoot it out. But she screamed. And screamed and screamed about this cricket. Like, if I scooted a little closer to me to try to get rid of it, she screamed. If I grabbed a trash can to kind of dust it into the trash can, she screamed. She wouldn't stop screaming until it was no longer in the house and alive.
I sympathize.
Why?
There's so many spider things on Amazon I can buy for Tricky.
Why do you sympathize? Yeah. Are you afraid of crickets too?
No. I don't care. If see, this is the thing. As long as I can see the spider, I'm fine. It's when that motherfucker disappears that I have the issue.
No, you are afraid of spiders. You're afraid of spiders in video games, like when spiders chase you or something. So,
are you really?
You're afraid of them when you can see them.
I'll never platinum Uncharted 3 just because of the spiders here.
Did you freak out for the spiders in Harry Potter? Like in Harry Potter with all the spiders and the Chamber of Secrets, did that freak you out?
When I was playing Lego Harry Potter, and I had to stop playing because of the spiders.
The Lego spiders scared you?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to hate me right now, because I'm literally on the Amazon app just looking at spider stuff, and I'm like, oh, I could do it.
You guys ever seen the, I think it's either Dark Souls, I think it had to be Dark Souls 2. There's a gif where a guy's walking through the cave with a thing, and he comes up, and there's this big-ass spider in the cave, and the guy turns around and runs back out. Yeah. That's pretty much my life. I see a spider, I'm going in the opposite direction.
Alex, I found a pack of spiders that are like 2-inch spiders, and they're painted to look like stretchy and scary like Black Widows, and you can get a package of 150 of them for $5.52, and it's prime shipping.
That's right. I was taking a shower the other day, and a spider was in the corner of the bathroom, and I didn't see it. I came out of the shower, and I'm toweling off and all that stuff, and I happen to look up and I see the web, and I'm like, okay, I gotta let the goddess know there's a web to, she's gotta get rid of it. All of a sudden, I look over to my left, and this spider is just crawling towards me. Yeah, I screamed like a little bitch and ran out.
Now, do you hate, like, Spider-Man? Is he cool?
He does have a spider on his chest.
No, see, to be honest, as long as I can see the spider, I'm fine.
Then why? Can't you platinum Uncharted?
Because if you guys remember Uncharted 3,
yes,
there's the scene where you are running towards the screen as the spiders are all coming down from the walls and chasing you.
You can see those spiders.
Completely harmless,
right? But with the effect of running towards the screen and not knowing where I'm running to, and you're really not focusing on the spiders, you're focusing on trying to maneuver yourself. And the sound in the headset. Shoo! Nope. Done. I'm finished. Not happening.
Wow. I didn't know that about you.
Not happening.
I never realized that. Like, that's a weird thing to be that scared of spiders to video games, even.
You know what it is? It's not so much that, like, once I see it, I'm fine. But it's the initial shock, and then I have to get over it. It's like I was playing Castlevania, I think it's what, Lords of Shadow?
One with like the Shadow Colossus sized enemies?
Right. There's a huge-ass spider. I was playing a game, I turned the corner, all of a sudden the spider's just right there. I broke a controller. I threw it.
Wow.
I was like, nope! I'm done.
My fears don't transition in
spiders if he can see them.
None of my real-life fears ever transition in any games or TV.
It's the initial shock. Like, right now, if there was a spider that came across my computer monitor, I would flip out for a second, but as long as I can see it, I'm fine. But the second that motherfucker starts making an effort towards me, or he dies behind something, I'm out until it's found.
Wow.
The initial shock? Yeah.
That's intriguing.
There could be a Metal Gear game. And if one of the bosses is a spider, I'm done playing.
No, wait, is it a Konami-based Metal Gear, or is it a Kojima Metal Gear game that you wouldn't play?
It doesn't matter. If there's a spider in that motherfucker, I'm not playing it.
Watch there be one and survive.
By the sound of a trick, he's not going to play it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I actually watched the 15-minute demo, and we'll get into that. But let's get back on track. Candace, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Overwatch. I've been playing World of Warcraft for Legion. I've been playing Destiny. I've actually been playing Skyrim. I got a brand new gaming PC, so I've been kind of installing stuff and modding it and just seeing, what kind of benchmark stuff I can get on it. Other than that, honestly, not a whole lot. I know that I have a lot of Destiny work coming up. So, my clan has kind of been all preparing.
And the only thing I've been playing all week is Venture Capitalist.
I saw.
Is that a game?
I
That's it, put air like quotes a, around the word game.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
It's a mobile game that they ported over to the PS4. The first time you play, you're going to play it for about an hour or two, getting yourself set up, and then afterwards, you're just going to go in 5 minutes, do whatever you're going to do, turn it off, and come back to it the next day.
So, not a game. You gave yourself a new chore.
It's free. It's really free. Did. Easy trophies.
Easy trophies. Okay. All right. Easy trophies. I mean,
you know
it's an
what,
app.
And
you know what game no one's been playing?
The Division.
The Division.
Actually, I did play that for about 10 minutes.
You kept that on your console?
I love The Division. I got the Platinum.
Why?
I love that
That's
game.
That's one person I know of. One person.
I was close.
Was
I was two
it.
Trophies from the Platinum, but I just couldn't play that game anymore.
Yeah, I gave it a good community college try with The Division. I really wanted it to be fun, but...
How far did you get?
I got level 23 or so.
Then you stopped too soon.
Yeah, it gets better towards
yeah, you
like
know
the
what?
Latter half of the
I,
game.
You know what? I don't want to ever play a fucking game where somebody goes, oh, you quit too soon. It gets better towards the end. Fuck that. No, if I'm going to put 23 levels in, give me something. Like, don't do this shit where it's like, you know, I'm 23 levels and you're almost there. You're almost to the good part. No.
I'm not saying you almost to the good part. The good part is getting to level 30.
The good part is throwing that game in the trash.
The good part is the trade-in value at GameStop.
The good part is uninstalling it from my fucking hard drive.
Once you get into the Dark Zone, that's when the game gets really fun.
No, it doesn't. I hated the Dark Zone so much. That's why.
That's because you suck in the Dark Zone.
I don't.
You know, I have been playing the For Honor closed alpha.
Oh, that game is so much fun.
Yeah, I have been having a lot of fun with it. I played it at E3, and I thought, you know, oh, y'all definitely, you know, want to get more into this and see what I can do. And then I remember I started up the alpha, and I was like, I don't have that wonderful Ubisoft person next to me to tell me how great I am. I have no validation. I'm going to fuck this right up.
The best part of playing that at E3 was having the guy just tell you, like, oh, you're doing good. He's like, yeah. Wow, you're really good at this. You blocked and parried. I'm like, oh, thanks, dude. Like,
oh, yeah. I'm like standing there. Yeah, I'm like standing there, and like I got this chick, and she was barking at the other two people in my row, like just telling them they were fucking up nonstop. But to me, I got the best treatment. And she was like, you're doing really well. Like, these guys suck. Like, they're sitting there listening to her say this. And so it was great. But, like, you know, I missed that experience of having her standing over my shoulder. And then, you know, having somebody, you know, let you know how to do the thing. So when I'm, like, by myself, I'm like, oh, this is fucked. I'm going to have a lot of problems here. But the alpha's actually really good. It doesn't do that hand-holding nonsense. You know, like, you can get in there and just... you know, mess up everybody.
Well, let's talk about somebody else that's messing up everybody, and that's Sony right now.
Well, that's a rough segue.
It was. Well, Andrew House.
Welcome to Trophy Horse, where Tricky plays shitty games and makes shitty segues.
Well, no, see, there was about 4 segues that I could have made, but I didn't want to cut Candace off. Back to the article. Sony's Andrew House found that Microsoft's response to the PlayStation 4 Pro, quote, quite intriguing, end quote. After the PlayStation 4 was announced, the official Xbox Twitter account reminded everyone that the Xbox One S includes a 4K Blu-ray player, something that the PlayStation 4 Pro lacks. And Microsoft's Albert Pinello talked about how he believes next year's Project Scorpio will be, quote, the most powerful box, end quote. In an interview with Digital Spy, Sony's Interactive Entertainment CEO Andrew House was asked about Microsoft's response. He says, I thought it was quite intriguing given the fact that we've seen a year of stories about a, quote, new and different Microsoft, end quote, in terms of their attitude towards the competition. House added that, quote, that was another short-lived, wasn't it, end quote, when Digital Spy brought up the new and gentle politics of the recent years. Although the official Xbox Twitter accounts and some executives made these commands, Xbox Phil Spencer mentioned that he prefers things to be more civil. Quote, I've been public about my dislike of the negative dialogue. We should stay focused on what we are building for Xbox gamers, end quote. And he wrote that on Twitter. Elsewhere in the Digital Spy interview, House mentioned that the lack of a 4K Blu-ray player in the PlayStation 4 Pro doesn't necessarily mean the start of a digital-only future, just that they noticed that streaming is beating physical media 5-1 on the PlayStation 4. Quote, "No, I don't think one should read into it that way. If you look at our current business, we see very stable sales of packaged media when it comes to games. On the other hand, when I look at other ways people are using the PlayStation 4, video content is absolutely number two use of the people's time on the console, but it's 5-1 in favor of streaming video versus packaged media. We look at that and said that's probably where we should place our emphasis. But I don't think you should extrapolate." Is that the word?
Yes.
Out from that to say that's where we're going with our philosophy around the areas of the business. Now, with that being said, we all agreed last week that Sony's fucking up with this Pro.
I wasn't here, but yes, I agree.
Oh yeah, and Candace, how do you feel about the Pro? Do you? I mean, I don't know if you listened to last week's show and as far as our opinions, but you personally, how do you feel about the Pro?
It's not really a priority for me right now. I mean, I have a 4K, and I love my 4K, but I don't really have any reason to go upgrading my system at this point. You know, right now my thoughts are I'm going to focus up on PSVR, and I'm going to take one upgrade at a time. And eventually, you know, if I feel like, hey, I need to upgrade my system, I'll probably go Pro, but... You know, it's just one of those things. It's a luxury item if you really just want to do something and have it, but it doesn't feel like a necessity to me. And I mean, and I'm one of the biggest Sony fangirls around, you know, up until they got rid of the PlayStation MVP group. I was part of them. Like, I love Sony through and through, but I don't know, I kind of felt like this didn't need to be a thing yet. I think they could have announced this, like, next year, and I think people would have been a little bit more encouraged by it, but right now it feels like they're just trying to make sure they get in there with Microsoft, and, you know, I'm in no rush, so.
Yeah, that's where we tend to agree.
Mm-hmm. I hate that he brought up 5-1 for physical to digital. Like, if it's a small number... When you're looking at the stats, 5-1, yeah, I can make. But when you're talking million-dollar business, 5-1, you're still going to make bank. Like, I am one of the few people who still buys physical media. Like, I love classic horror movies, so I'll go buy the Blu-rays, even though I have them on DVD. In 4K Blu-rays, I'm going to collect all the superhero movies and all my horror movies. And not having a 4K DVD, like, drive in it, I'm sorry, I'm going to end up getting an Xbox for 4K now to watch my movies on. Like, I stream, but it's just like, and also people don't realize when you want to stream 4K stuff, like on Netflix and stuff, I believe it's an extra, like, $2 or $3 a month, and that adds up, having to pay extra to stream 4K. And also,
now, streaming on the PlayStation 4 Pro is going to be free.
Even Netflix?
Yes. They said that there's no extra charge if you're streaming it through the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Well, I mean, that's nice, but at the same time, like, I want 4K thing. Like, I want to watch the Godzilla in 4K Blu-ray. I want to watch, like, Captain America Civil War in 4K Blu-ray. I want to watch Arachnophobia in 4K.
I think for those people who are into physical media, that is definitely an issue. I don't have any issue with going digital. So, you know, everything that I have 4K, you know, is currently digital. Yeah. So...
I think it's because I like to show off stuff, so like I like having a big shelf,
a bookcase full of.
Yeah, it is because I like having my bookshelf with like my DVD collection. Someone comes over, like, "Wow, you have a sick Blu-ray collection." It's like, "Yeah, thanks." Mm. Like, I like Blu-rays. I strictly wait until Black Friday.
Does anyone actually tell you that you have a sick Blu-ray collection?
So what you're saying is, you know, you like the spectacle. Of the entire.
Yeah, and
process.
Also I like the idea, like, when you buy digital stuff, like, I mean, games. They fill up the hard drive so fast. That's why I kind of veer away from digital. Like, when I get review games, it's always digital codes, and it's like, well, I'm filling up my hard drive. So I like physical stuff to, like, if I ever want to go back and play a game, I can put the disc in and it'll install it and patch it. Whereas if it's a digital version of the game and I'm done playing it, I delete it to free up space, and it's like DLC comes out later on. Now I got to re-download the whole game and then the DLC when
right.
I put a disc in.
But can so we like admit that it's
physical?
We're kind of losing that whole thing anyways. Because, I mean, like, okay, for example, Until Dawn, right? I get Until Dawn on physical copy. I had pre-ordered the stupid thing. I love Until Dawn, but I pre-ordered it, and I was thinking, good, well, this isn't going to take up a lot of space because it's a physical copy. I was so wrong. I should have learned from Dragon Age Inquisition that a physical copy doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have more space. A lot of
physical
you.
And physical and digital are exactly the same yeah. storage space. Now.
Yeah, it ends up taking up space. You know, at the end of the day, you're still going to have to download a ton of patches and updates, and it's still going to have to install onto your hard drive. You know, I don't mind the process. I mean, because like you, I get a lot of review code. You know, I have to deal with kind of juggling nonstop. You know, trying to find what I'm gonna vote off the island before I put on this review code. Deus Ex. Yeah, Deus Ex. Deus Ex was one of those ones where I was like, oh, okay, all right, you guys. Which one of you is going to have to go? Is it going to be Dead or Alive Extreme 3? Like, which one of you is going to go? I think we're getting to a point now where physical copies are going to become kind of superfluous. We don't really need them anymore. It's not mattering in the broad scheme of space. You know, I think we need to have bigger hard drives for sure. Not everybody is going to be savvy enough or want to risk their copy of PT in order to move over to a new hard drive. I think that's what Sony should be focused on, is giving us more space, especially if they want to go digital like this.
I don't know. I think, I mean, hard drives can always be bigger, but I feel like hard drives now are kind of... I think they're big enough. I don't have movies or photos or anything on my PlayStation, but I feel like there's not many games I actually want to keep on my PlayStation, especially since I can just delete them and then go to the store and download them again. I mean, maybe some multiplayer games, but...
Do you have a PS4? And
I do.
You do. And, you know, of your... How many PlayStation 4 titles would you guess you had?
All but one are digital, and that one came with the system. It was the Uncharted collection. Everything else is digital. So Lego, Lego Marvel, Until Dawn, the new Ratchet and Clank, Rocket League, Lego Batman 3, The Wolf Among Us, Tales from the Borderlands. I mean, they're all digital.
So, like, but I mean, like, I'm saying, how many PlayStation 4 games would you estimate you have? Like 10, 15, 20.
Well, I got 11 platinums during the trophy war in March, so I'd probably say a good
12.
18?
18? Okay. I probably have like 3 or 4 times that. And when you have that many, and like I said, review copies, you know, these are not just AAA games. These are little games. These are the indie games.
Technomancer.
Right. Oh, dear God. I can't even talk about Technomancer. But, like, you know, when you have, you go through, you know, say you're a massive fan of gaming and you pick up, you know, all of these games that come out and you want to try, like, a little bit of everything. And you're not, you know, and not to say that you're a casual gamer, but I would say that, you know, somebody who is a power gamer and is, like, gaming every single day for at least 2 to 3 hours a day, those people are going to have probably more games on their system. And so when a new game comes out and they want to have to shuffle around and figure out what to get rid of, games are getting bigger. You know, they're taking up more space. I have my physical collector's edition of the last Destiny expansion. It came with all the physical copies. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to use the physical copy. Maybe it'll take less space. Maybe the load time will be a little easier. Nope, nothing. So it was useless. It was useless for me to do any of what I did. And so I just went ahead and downloaded it. You know, I already had the digital version. It unlocks all of that stuff just by having it, if it already registers it. So I just went ahead and downloaded the digital version. I didn't want to fuck around with any of the nonsense of loading that stuff up. And now that I've kind of been through that whole scheme, which is like, you know, why even sell me the physical copy at this point? It is the same amount of space, if not more sometimes. You know, why bother? You know, I had Fallout 4 on physical copy. Why? No idea. It's all just there. It's all going to come from the same place anyway. So,
well,
I don't know.
The games
for those
are different, though, when it comes to physical. Like, movies are, like, I don't know how good, because I don't have a 4K smart TV or anything. I don't know how good streaming is in 4K, but I feel like there's less issue not having to rely on a good network and buffering to watch a good quality 4K Blu-ray.
Because, like, I have my 4K TV. Do you guys have one? Like, do any of you have one?
I have a 4K television.
Okay, of course you do, Tricky.
Well,
I told you last week I had one.
Well, I'm still paying on mine. I'm not like a baller like Tricky.
So Tricky, but, like, if there's something...
And just for the record, I have 257 games on my PlayStation 4.
Well, I know with mine, you know, I have the Netflix and YouTube 4K channels and things like that. And if I use what is built into the smart TV... I get that 4K resolution beautifully, and usually it'll, you know, take a minute, and you'll kind of preload it. That way you don't have to deal with, like, buffering and all of that, but PS4, it's useless to watch anything 4K on because it doesn't transfer over. I definitely feel like with the PS4 Pro that getting a PlayStation for that kind of quality is a little premature.
I will tell you that I was at the PlayStation meeting in New York when they announced the Pro and the Slim.
Right.
Looking at what I saw, which I have no idea why they streamed it, because there was no way anybody was going to see the quality that we saw.
Right.
Being there live in person, seeing it firsthand, I can tell you, if you have a 4K television, it is well worth the money to go buy a Pro.
Really?
But if you don't have a 4K television,
there's
no reason to go buy a Pro.
Right. But how many people would you think even have a 4K television right now?
I think it's more than what people think it is. Because, as we said last week, a 4K television, they're not overly expensive right now. You can go get a good quality Samsung 4K television for $600,
$700. Okay,
or
well,
Vizio.
Right.
Vizio also. From that, 4 to 6.
That might actually be a lot of money to some people there, Tricky.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying that $600-$700 is not a lot of money. What I'm saying is, when you look, like, when the 3D TVs hit the market, they were hitting for $2,000-$3,000. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, it's not as expensive as everybody thinks it is. Like, when you think of, like, oh, I gotta go, I wanna go buy a 4K television, people immediately start picturing, I'm gonna spend $2,000-$3,000. No, you can go get a 55-inch Samsung, decent quality. I'm not saying, like, top-of-the-line market. Decent quality that has HDR support for $600-$700.
No, it's not bad.
So if you know, if your TV breaks, there's an option for you. If your PlayStation 4 breaks now, the option is to go get a Pro. What I'm saying, but... I want to reiterate the point of, if you have a 4K television, it is worth the money to go buy a Pro. If you don't have one, then there's no reason for you to go get one. But if either your TV or your PlayStation breaks right now, you might as well go and upgrade, because that is where the future is going.
I hate that you said sentence. I feel like you jinxed me, because I have such horrible luck this year with electronics.
Do you feel like... it needed to happen right now? Like, do you feel like we were ready for it now?
No. See, I honestly think when it comes to the 4 Pro, I honestly think Sony just tried to beat Microsoft to the market.
Right. And that's how I feel. I feel like we're early. I don't feel like it's a necessity yet. You know, usually what happens, especially... with Sony, is they will release their slim down model, you know, and then they're going to go, oh, we're going to go ahead and upgrade some stuff, you know, or we're going to come out with a new console. And that usually is, like, the following year that we find out about that, not within the same year that they're also releasing the slim model.
Well, see, what I think honestly happened was somehow Sony found out that Microsoft was going to be making the Scorpio. And I honestly believe they were prepared to announce the Pro at E3. That's why we got the second gameplay of Day's End. And I think when Microsoft announced the Scorpio and they did their 2-3 minute video, I think it caught Sony off guard. Because I honestly believe Sony... Because what people... Colin and Greg said this on PS I Love UXOXO. People got to remember, the Pro and the Scorpio, they've been in development for a long time now. They can't... Sony couldn't just turn around once they heard the Scorpio and go, okay, we're going to start over. We're going to put this in. They were done. They could upgrade the memory. They could upgrade this. But overall, they can't update that much stuff. I think Sony was trying to beat Microsoft to the punch. They severely underestimated what Microsoft was trying to do with the Scorpio. And now, you know, they're gonna suffer for it.
You have good points. Like, I don't know, like, the whole, I guess I'm in the minority of, you know, the PS4 Pro, the only thing that's really keeping me from getting it is, one, I don't have a 4K TV, and two, I just, no 4K Blu-ray drive. Like, that's really I hate to admit it, that's, until I have a 4K TV and I'm, you know, like, Horizon comes out in Zero Dawn and stuff like that, I'll be okay with getting a PS4 Pro, but my priority is, I already have a PS4, I'm completely fine, I don't have a 4K TV, I'm in no rush to get one. So, down the road, I'll have one probably next year, but the reason why I'm not going to get it any sooner is legitimately the 4K Blu-ray drive.
There's PSVR coming out within, like, a month, too.
Yeah.
Like, I've got so much going on that... Yeah. Upgrading to a new system as well as getting their new peripheral just does not make sense.
Poor timing. It should have been like a spring release, which is something Sony doesn't do with their consoles. If they did a spring release, like a February or March, I think it would have been a lot better for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it would have opened up a ton of content for them to use during E3. You know, they would have had so much they could have walked out with.
Well, I mean, they always wanted to, like, release a console or something big like that before the holidays or during the holidays so people will go out and buy it. Like,
why wasn't the Slim and the PSVR enough, though?
Yeah, because you're releasing three things at $400
right
before Christmas.
And yeah, I can't get a Vita 2. What is up with that?
Yeah, I just think, I just think it's a lot.
All right, well, I don't have a good segue for this because all of them got destroyed previously. Hideo Kojima has broken his silence on what we're going to expect with Death Stranding. First, it's going to be open world, and it's going to have co-op. At TGS, Hideo Kojima took to the stage to say some things. Details on the story were scarce, but Kojima said that the title was inspired by whales and dolphins who sometimes get stranded on the beach. Quote, the title is something about something from another world stranded on our world, end quote. Kojima said that Death Stranding will be an open world game with lots of player freedom and the co-op will be a feature. He also reiterated a lot of the same cryptic stuff around Death Stranding's themes that were revealed to us in the interview at E3 to IGN. Kojima said that he's finally decided on an engine to build Death Stranding so production can begin now. And he closed his presentation by saying that he and his team plan to accommodate 4K and HDR. Quote, we want to prove that indie studios can produce AAA world-class masterpieces, end quote. All right, I'm going to call bullshit right there.
I just love the fact that Kojima's trying to say he's an indie.
Yeah.
He's got an indie studio.
The fact that only Kojima could be inspired for a video game from whales and dolphins stranded on the beach. Like, who else would be like, you know, whales and dolphins get stranded on the beach, we should do some of that. I got it. I have an idea for a video game. It's like, really? Like, a whale on the... Like, he's just... I don't know how his mind works.
And somehow Norman Reedus ended up in there.
Also, at the same presentation, Hideo Kojima was asked about Metal Gear Survives Zombies. Kojima took the opportunity to distance himself from Konami's forthcoming Metal Gear Survive, a spinoff of Kojima's acclaimed Metal Gear series. When he asked whether or not the idea for Survive had come from Kojima himself, he said, that's nothing to do with me. The Metal Gear games are about political fiction and espionage. Where do the zombies fit in with that? He said if he had worked on that game, there would have been mechs in it.
Right. Yeah. See, I'm a huge Kojima fan. If you listen back to the Sony press conference at E3, I'm pretty sure you can hear me just screaming at the top of my lungs. He can do whatever the hell he wants with Death Stranding. I will still play it. And anybody who saw anything about that Metal Gear nonsense knows that it's gonna be a dumpster fire.
I watched the 15 minutes from Tokyo Game Show. I was actually impressed. I like zombie games.
But like, are you a huge Metal Gear fan?
I'm not in the fanboy category where I feel like every Metal Gear Solid game is amazing. I just remember being younger, the first two games I played, like, I had them on PlayStation, then I got them on, the GameCube. Like, I really loved the first two of those. They're, like, my favorite. I liked 4 for the cinematic experience, and 5, I had a lot of fun with 5. I enjoyed it. I'm not a big, fan of how it was. Like, I like the original games more, maybe, like, the first two. But I liked it enough to where I understand that Metal Gear Survive is completely different. It may be set in the Metal Gear universe, but I'm able to have that mindset of a fan for Metal Gear to realize this isn't, like, they could take the Metal Gear name away from it.
I generally am in the camp of, you know what, anything that touches upon something that I love is valid to me, you know? I am generally of the ilk that if there is something that kind of touches upon something I love, it's all worth it. You know, I will take it with a grain of salt for the most part, but I want all of it. I want to see all of the new, you know, Ghostbusters movies. I want to see all of, you know, the Suicide Squad nonsense. Even if it's necessarily not good, I still like having something, you know, new to touch upon, you know, that thing I love. I do not feel that way with this. Like, I am one of those ugly fanboys who gets on Twitter and says all this nasty shit and makes an egg account to troll the fuck out of Konami because I hate it. I hate Metal Gear Survive. I want this zombie bullshit to stop that is not Kojima. And I am one of those ugly fangirls that, like, I've been following it since the beginning. And I know it's bad. I do not want Survive to happen. It's gonna happen, but I ain't touching it. And anybody I know who's all like, oh, it's so good, I hate them. I instantly hate them.
Okay, well, you can instantly hate me because I am a huge Metal Gear fanboy.
Really?
I don't believe you.
Yeah,
cool. You went ahead and pre-ordered a thing. That means nothing to me.
Oh, she called you out on your shit.
I wasn't showing you the hand. I was showing you what the hand's doing.
Yeah, no, I know what the hand's doing. That doesn't mean shit to me.
With that being said, I am a huge fan of the series. I love everything that Kojima has done with the series. When Survive was announced, I instantly said, this is the stupidest thing. But watching that 15-minute trailer, it has changed my mind. Because from what I can see from the trailer, it's using the gameplay from 5, which I loved.
Yeah.
And it's incorporating zombies. I don't like the fact that zombies are in the game, but I do like the idea of the co-op in the Metal Gear gameplay, Phantom Pain gameplay. The game might be shit story-wise, but playing it and the idea of using that engine and playing that gameplay with 3 of my friends and we have to survive, no
God,
pun intended.
You're a traitor.
Well, like, when it was announced, we both said the same exact thing. Like, the co-op is the main appeal of this.
I think that is what's going to... I'm not saying this game of the year in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, hell no.
I'm not saying that at all.
Well,
I'm just saying...
You can't really say that until it comes out and you play it.
Well, what I'm saying is the idea of sitting there with 3 friends and having to defend and, you know, being able to put up walls and fences and... put up a turret and all this other stuff, that aspect, it looks good.
Okay, but, like, real quick, I really don't want to have to, like, turn this entire thing into me trying to understand how you could be okay with this. But, like...
We've been trying to understand how Tricky's okay for a long time.
But, okay, so what you're saying is, yeah, you... like the game build. You like the concept. Does it have to be Metal Gear, though?
No. Like I said, they could take the name away from it.
Yeah, if you take Metal Gear away from it, I'm still interested in the game. I'm upset with Konami because they're trying to capitalize off of Metal Gear
right.
on this game. Right. That yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% agreement with you. Take Metal Gear off of this.
Hold
it doesn't
on,
matter.
Out. I mean, look, the game is getting pressed because it has Metal Gear attached to it. If they just can't survive. No one's gonna give a shit. So they have to attach Metal Gear to it. I mean,
how does that not make you sick? It makes me sick.
Look,
it's a tactic. It's a PR tactic.
My history with the Metal Gear games, I bought the collection. I tried to play it. I have like one trophy in every game. I can't play it. I resold it. I just can't do those games. Because I'm not that great at stealth, and I don't want to sneak around.
I remember. You tried. You tried hard.
I tried. The Sly Cooper games are more of my style of stealth. More of my speed. But they have to use they own the Metal Gear property. They own that name, so they have to use it at some point. Like they just can't like let it go by the wayside. So I mean,
I'm gonna say something that's gonna be blasphemous.
Uh oh.
He's gonna tell us that the Division's actually good.
No. I'm gonna get yelled at by both Mark and Candace at the exact same time.
Go ahead, say it. I dare you.
Watching Metal Gear Survive, I kind of got the feel like it was the Phantom Pain and The Last of Us merged together.
You shut your whore mouth.
Yeah, see, now you're just talking fucking nonsense.
Hold on. Let me defend myself here a second.
Ugh.
There is no defending you, sir.
The zombies don't have heads, so you have to sneak around and you have to execute them from behind, kind of like you did with The Last of Us with the shiv.
With the clickers, yeah. Okay, I get that.
So, with that aspect, you got the feel of The Last of Us.
Okay.
But then you also have the Metal Gear aspect of, okay, I've been spotted, all hell's breaking loose, let me hop on this turret or let me pull out my freaking AK or whatever it is and start blasting away fools.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying I kind of got the feel like this is a mash of the two worlds. The Last of Us, by far, is my opinion, is the greatest game ever made. I will never deny that. The Phantom Pain is a very close second to me. And this just seems, personally, as a mashup between the two. But I will say, if you take the Metal Gear name off of it, I'd still be interested in the game. But to Alex's point, if you take the Metal Gear name off of it, it's not going to get the press it's getting.
Like, okay, when you explained it, made more sense, because when you first said Last of Us, I'm like, wait, you're going to really compare this, like, this game to, like, great storytelling? We'll get to the fact that that's your favorite game ever made on another podcast, because the fact that you didn't say Suikoden 2 upsets me.
What? But you love that game too?
Number one on my list, still have a physical copy unopened. And, okay, so I get it, like, all right.
Why didn't you
we
tell
knew they
me?
Were going to use it.
No, hold on. Why didn't you guys tell me this guy was awesome?
Alex did.
No. No, I feel like I should have been opened far earlier with this.
No, but okay, you brought up good points, and like now that you think about it, now I feel like because you brought The Last of Us into it with the comparison, it kind of makes me not like the game more, because now it's going to be in my head thinking The Last of Us, and I know that game's not, like, I like survivor horror games. And I like co-op, and there's not a lot of co-op in genre right now. Like, if you want to look at games that use, like, Konami, they own the rights. Like, let's face it, down the road, we're going to get another Silent Hill game somewhere. They're going to capitalize on the rights to that. They're capitalizing on Metal Gear, just like how Capcom's been using Resident Evil for, like, Operation Raccoon City and then that Umbrella Corp game. Like, these are key franchises and titles. Yeah, you can, like, look at Revengeance. You can take the name of anything and put it on a crappy game, but if the name sells, they're going to keep doing it.
Candace actually liked Revengeance, so
I like the collector's edition for the little sword lamp.
I dug Revengeance. I thought it was fun. I kind of took it as like an offshoot, you know, silly thing. I didn't like
the gameplay, so that's what didn't sell me. That's why I Survive. Yeah. I like the gameplay. That's what's going to sell me this Revengeance. Like, let's face it. And also, this is not the only Metal Gear labeled game we're going to get from Konami for the next 5 years. Like, let's face it, we're going to get more Metal Gear related things, so we might as well just prepare for, I mean, yes, Kojima made that franchise.
Maybe that's where my issue lies. Maybe I am such a Kojima fan that that's where my defense is.
There's only a few producers out there whose name can sell, like a Kojima production. Suda 51.
I actually have a question for you all. Now that Konami and Kojima are no longer working together, is this the trend for Metal Gear? Is there not going to be a true Metal Gear Solid game ever again, and we're just going to get games in the style of Metal Gear Survive?
I don't trust myself with it, because
I don't think Konami has the balls to try to do another one.
So we're going to get options. No, we'll get a Revengeance 2. Survive might be a new frame. We're going to get alternate universe. Like, right. I would not be surprised if they go back to previous games and do alternate universes now. We're never going to get a numbered Metal Gear Solid game again.
I agree. I believe that the Phantom Pain is where we end with that one. But, you know, I think my issue with Konami and with Metal Gear Solid games in general now is I know what they did to Kojima, you know, and that's where my loyalty lies, I believe. So I can't be trusted. I can't be trusted to give a correct opinion about any of that. I will never review anything that Konami releases that has to do with Metal Gear Solid now, because I can't.
To the point, I think I said this last week, but I might actually had to edit it out of the show. My problem with Survive is the fact that they use the reason why Kojima left Konami is because they were not doing any more AAA games, and then he leaves, he announces Death Stranding, and all of a sudden now we have another AAA game coming out from Konami.
Oh, do you really think Survive is going to be a AAA game? The name is AAA, but the game itself is
AAA necessarily doesn't mean quality. It's how much money is behind the actual game. Like, it's the resources that go into it.
And well, the engine's already made. Kojima's not there to spend all the money.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, honestly, it's... I've only seen 15 minutes of gameplay from Tokyo Game Show. I haven't played the game myself. I will review it if anyone at Konami is listening. Holla at your boy. but it's... Like I said, me and Tricky agree. Like, I know Tricky's going to get it. I'm going to get it. I guarantee you, me and him are going to have a lot of fun playing co-op. It might not be a good game, but at least the experience will be fun. I'm not going into it as a Metal Gear fan wanting to play another Metal Gear game. I'm going into it as, I want to play this co-op with my friends. This looks like I'm going to enjoy it, and that's it.
And that's exactly how I'm going into it, too.
I have to bail out.
Okay. I was about to do that. Listeners, Candace has to take off... Unfortunately, she has some prior commitments she has to take care of. So at this point of the show, we're going to say goodbye to Candace.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Candace, before you go, do you have any shout-outs you want to make?
No, absolutely none. I guess Loot Crate, they keep my lights on. They pay me. That's pretty nice. The Daily Crate is my writing team and my streaming team. And you guys are all pretty great. So thank you so much for having me around.
Thank you for coming on.
All right. Later, guys.
Bye.
Later. I want to play that game now. I think it's fun. Like, I want to play it.
All right. What game you don't want to play is No Man's Sky.
I have no man's desire to play that.
No Man's Desire. Since the launch of No Man's Sky, both Hello Games and Sony have been quiet about the problems of the game. Until Shuhei Yoshida has come out and made a statement. In an article posted on IGN, President of Worldwide Studios Shuhei Yoshida said that while he enjoyed No Man's Sky, he understands why many players feel let down by the game, and puts that down Hello Games PR strategy. Quote, "I understand some of the criticisms, especially Sean Murray's getting... He said to Eurogamer, because he sounded like he was promising more features in the game from day one. It wasn't a great PR strategy because he didn't have a PR person helping him, and at the end, he is an indie developer." End quote. Famously, Murray had mentioned features like multiplayer before the game's launch, but then they appeared not to make it into the initial release of the game, leading to some to request refunds for the game after it didn't meet their expectations. Yoshida's statement is bound to cause some confusion, given Sony's very public push for the game pre-release and his position as publisher and distributor of the physical release of the game. Hello Games was the publisher for the digital PC and PlayStation 4 versions. Yoshida said him that he really enjoyed the game and points to its future growth as a reason to stay excited for it. Quote, Sean Murray says their plan is to continue to develop No Man's Sky's features and such, and I'm looking forward to continuing to play the game. End quote. Murray has already promised new features like base building and the ability to own freight-type ships, among other things, although the game's most recent patches have only focused on squashing bugs. Yoshida also addressed whether the negative reactions to the game had hurt Sony and the PlayStation 4 image, saying, quote, I am super happy with the game, actually, and I'm amazed with the sales that the game has gotten, so I'm not the right person to judge if it has, quote, harmed, end quote, the PlayStation brand. I personally don't think so. If anything, I'm proud that people can play No Man's Sky on PS4 as well as PC. End quote. No word has yet arrived on when the next content for the game will arrive, but a recent update on No Man's Sky's website promised, quote, future free updates which will improve, expand, and build on the No Man's Sky universe, end quote.
There's so much bullshit in that article.
Yeah.
Like, the first quote, it wasn't a great PR strategy because he didn't have a PR person helping him. And in the end, he is an indie developer. I'm sorry, do you know how many indie developers that I talk to PR people for on a daily basis? You can get a PR. Like, all the pre-orders, you knew they went gold how soon after the pre-orders opened? Like, he could have hired a PR person to help him. He just did not deliver what he said, and it's not him not knowing, you know, he was promising more features than it was supposed to be. It's like, he could have flat out said, oh yeah, this is stuff that's going to evolve over time. Instead, he's like, this is everything we're going to get from day one. It's his own fault. He should have hired someone to do PR. There's too much hype on that game.
Well, let's be honest. Shouldn't Sony have handled the PR for this?
I think so myself.
I mean, if you have the resources that Sony has, I mean, clearly Hello Games doesn't have nearly as much money or experience with this kind of thing as Sony does. If you're Sony and you have the resources, help them out. I mean, this is a huge game for you. You know. Put out the PR, you handle that, you do the campaign. I mean, it's going to cost you more money, but in the end, if you can get more sales and prevent, you know, having to give people refunds because the game's not what they expected or not as is kind of a disappointment, I mean, why not just throw the resources out there?
The downside is, even if Sony helped them, they're still not in-house, like at Hello Games, and it's just like when you hire a PR person, the PR person just basically puts out the information for the game going on. They're just like, you know, the mouthpiece. And if Sean Murray is going to give them the same information that he was saying on his own through all these interviews, then it would have looked bad on Sony, because then Sony would have been the one promising all this stuff and it never happened day one. So regardless, like, unless he had an in-house, like, let's face it, they made a lot of money from this game. Yeah, they're doing refunds. Hello Games needs an actual PR person in-house in their studio now. That's the only thing that's going to fix anything for the future, because I'm sorry, with all the issues going on with, like, refunds and this and that, this could hurt Hello Games' future as a developer.
See, as far as Hello Games goes, I'm not putting this on Hello Games. Where I'm putting it on them is the fact that they overpromised and underdelivered.
Yeah.
But I feel Alex is right. Sony definitely should have took over the PR of this. Sony put so much time and effort into promoting the game, they should have made sure that the message was clear.
Well, that's the thing. The message that they would be conveying is what Sean Murray would be telling them. So if he's telling Sony's PR people the same thing he was telling all of us, Sony would have been the one basically not keeping up the promises, because everyone would have blamed Sony.
I think if Sony would have sent somebody in there and said, hey, listen, tell me where the game's at, be 100% honest with me, they could have spun it in a way to not overpromise.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Sony has people who went to college for public relations and know how to spin it, but that's only if Sony sent someone in there. If they were just doing conference calls and progress reports, Sean Murray could say whatever he wants and then Sony has to go by his word. So the only way it would have worked is if Sony sent someone down there, stayed in the down there, like maybe checked in once a week for 6 months straight, was doing all their PR and stuff. It would have maybe helped the game out, but then again, it's just like, with all the, like, refunds and everything else, it's hard to really convey whether or not Sony even helping with the PR would have actually helped the outcome of the game itself. It would have maybe gave us more information, but then again, we didn't even get any information for the game of what was going to happen until, like, a month before it came out. We were still like, what's this game? What's the story? What's going on? They were trying to keep it too much of a mystery to build hype, which is never really a good thing.
Alex, how do you feel about all this?
You know, I've already kind of said that I think Sony should have helped out with the PR. I think that, I mean, the problem with this game is that the hype train was just too much. There was not necessarily enough information, and people let their imaginations run wild, and it wasn't controlled, and it was just allowed to kind of just ramp up into a bonfire. And when you have that, everyone said that there's no way this game can meet expectations, and it hasn't. And it's because the expectations were allowed to get out of control. Because for the longest time, we talked about on the show, and we didn't know what you were doing. I mean, we knew you had to get to the center of the universe, and there'd be lots of planets, and you'd have to collect resources, but we didn't know a ton about the game. And we were just left to say, oh, well, we can never explore every single part of the universe. Oh, you know, we may never see another person. Oh, I feel like it's both Sony and Hello Games' fault for letting just the hype get out of control. That's really what has hurt this game. It's not that the game is unplayable or it's super poor quality. It's just it was, as we said, I believe Tricky was said it, over-promising and under-delivering, because how could you deliver anything that was on par with what was on the internet?
Well, we're running into the problem also with The Last Guardian as well with that. Because
I feel like The Last Guardian, to be honest, some of that hype has died down. So if that game comes out and it's good, like it'll be fine. But it's been in development for so long, and people have kind of lost attention, like have lost some of the hype or some of the excitement for it, that I feel like that game will be fine. And that's the only case where hype that gets out of control can be not detrimental to a game, is when the game takes so long to come out that the hype has died down.
Well, the game is actually going to be taking longer to come out because The Last Guardian has been delayed yet again. Originally slated to come out on October 25th, it has now been delayed until December 6th in the U.S., December 7th in Europe, and December 9th in the U.K. and Ireland. Writing on the PlayStation blog, Shuhei Yoshida explained the reason for the delay as, quote, "A delay is a difficult decision, particularly with this game, but we have encountered more bugs than anticipated while in the final stages of development. To ensure The Last Guardian delivers on the experience that the game's creators have envisioned, we need the extra time to work on those issues. Fumito Ueda, Gen Design, and Japanese Studio have a wonderful vision for The Last Guardian's touching, emotional journey of friendship and trust. We want to deliver the most polished experience possible for our fans who have supported us for so long." End quote. I think The Last Guardian is going to suffer from the same thing that No Man's Sky is. This is killing it. And I know, Alex, you were somewhat looking forward to The Last Guardian. Are you going to tell me that your hopes and dreams for this game are the same as, you know, 2-3 years ago?
You know, I mean, I don't have the same expectations that I did, and I'm not as excited I was. But, I mean, after playing Shadow of the Colossus and having the respect for Team Ico that I do, I want to play the game. Like, I want to see how it turned out. So I will buy it, but I'm not as excited as I once was. And I think that no matter, you know, even if the hype was big before and the expectations were high after Shadow of the Colossus, with that hype having died down, I don't think it's going to hurt that game, this game that much. I think the problem is that you're going to have that excitement has died down so much that the game isn't going to sell very well. That's the problem. It's not going to be hype. It's going to be sales.
All right, Mark?
Honestly, my hype for this game died a long time ago. I mean, I saw it at E3. I saw the cool booth thing they had set up for it. I want to play it just because the game, like, the name, the hype behind it, there's no real hype or anything for me. I just think it looks cool, and it's something I would enjoy. But at the same time, I could really care less. Like, it's going to be December time. I'm going to be on holiday and this and that. Like, I'm not even going to be concerned with games in December, except for what I get on Christmas. Other than that, like, I'm in sales. Like, I don't really play a lot of games in the latter half of December into beginning of January. So, if anything, it pushed it back. I mean, I'm not going to play it now. I'm probably going to pick it up, or if someone gets it for me, like, it just I have no hype for it. I'm over getting hyped for games. I've been teaching myself not to get hyped for games in the last year, so that way there I can just enjoy the game and not be let down. Except for Horizon Zero Dawn? Like, I got hyped for that, though.
Alright. I got no more... I got nothing else to say about The Last Guardian. I was never really interested in the game just because I never played Ico or Shadow of the Colossus. I got a little excited when I saw the trailer back in, what? It had to have been, what, 2006? 9?
2006? No, Shadow of the Colossus came out in 2006.
No, I'm talking about the debut trailer of The Last Guardian, which was 2009, right?
The debut one, yeah. Remember. That was like, it was at least 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was 7 or 8 years ago. I kind of got a little hyped and it made me want to play Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, but and anything that I had going for it to say I'm going to play this game is gone. I like, even if it comes out and everybody, including you, Al, starts praising, this is the greatest game ever, you know, it's living up to the hype, it's definitely worth the delay, I still am not going to play it. It's destroyed for me. With that being said, we do not have a Sophie's Trophy this week. Unfortunately, I did not come prepared. That is my apologies. But we do have a topic of the week that is brought to us from Lucia.
Boom.
Lucia, what is your topic this week?
Okay, so I'm gonna word it the way I told you before the podcast, because I wrote it up all, you know, crappy. So basically, the top of the week, I mean, it's September's halfway over. We're getting into the holiday season, so the end of this month, October, we get a lot of good releases, especially the first week in November. So with all these games coming out now, knowing that we're going to get, you know, Amazon flash sales and everything around Black Friday, is it really, what about a game makes you want to pick it up like on November 11th or the 16th instead of waiting 2 weeks to get it, you know, for 35? Because there's a lot of new games that are coming out now in the next month and a half. They're going to be $30-$35 on Black Friday. So why spend $60 now when you can get it almost half price then? So what makes a game, what makes you want to get a game at launch this in the holiday season instead of waiting?
For me, the real answer I'll have is I'm impatient when it comes to games.
You're impatient when it comes to anything technological related.
Except The Division. That,
but also, you know, one of my pet peeves with video games, which it doesn't matter if I buy it on day one or I wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks to buy it, is the fact that every game I play the single player first. I never jump into multiplayer, and then I always find myself, when I'm jumping into the multiplayer, being so overmatched because everybody jumped into the multiplayer and everybody's such a higher level that you really can't get into it, and then that destroys the multiplayer for me.
I'm the same way. So, I always play single player first, especially in like Call of Duty. Like, that's another thing why, like, you know, Call of Duty comes out like what, usually the 11th or 16th of November every year, and it's just like, why? Like, I see it for $30 at Target every year on Black Friday.
But I mean, that honestly, that's the answer for me. It's one, I'm impatient. I like to get my games and I like to be there. I mean, I got Mad Max and The Phantom Pain on the same day, because they released on the same day. Bought them both digitally. I didn't play Mad Max for a month and a half.
I remember that.
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'll get it, but sometimes I don't play it. I think I had Red Dead Redemption in its plastic for 6 months before I even opened it up and played it.
Wow.
And that's mostly because I forgot I had it.
I did that with GTA 5. I bought it on PS3, and I don't think I played it for almost a year after I bought it. I never played it. I just forgot. But, like, I don't know. I only buy games that, like, I can't wait for. Like, my aunt, like, WE Games, yeah, it comes out in October for 2K17, but I know on Black Friday it's going to be dirt cheap, like $25 like it was last year, but I'm still going to pick it up on October 11th because I like that franchise. But a game like, you know, I know there's a Gears coming out in November and a few other games, like even ReCore, I want to get that. I'm just like, I have no desire to like play it right now. And maybe it's because now I'm more fiscally responsible. I see the appeal of waiting and saving like $20 that I could put towards gas or groceries instead. But there's just my urgency to get games when they come out in the holiday season on release day, like, kind of has been thrown out the door in the last 2 years.
What about you, Alex?
You know, honestly, I don't really know anything that's coming out, because obviously my eyes are set on Horizon Zero Dawn. So I don't really know of anything that's actually going to be released in the fall or even the holiday season that interests me. I still need to get Uncharted 4, so I still need to play that, so that might be something I get for the holidays. But other than that, I don't know. It'll be PlayStation Plus freebies for me. Oh, okay. Well, and yeah, Last Guardian enough. In December. So, two games that I can be buying.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't even know what's coming out either. I just know there's a Gears of War coming out, like, for Xbox, and I know there's the annual titles, like, you know, Madden just came out, we're going to get the NHLs and the FIFAs, you know, all the annual titles, and, like, Call of Duty, which is always, like, the big November release. Like, games like that are going to be coming out, and it's just, like, I see, you know, because I used to work at Target, and I used to do the electronics, so I used to see it every Black Friday. I was like, wow, like, look at these dirt cheap games, but this, like, I've seen people come in a week earlier spending $65 on it after tax. And I just didn't know if there's, like, one thing about a game that makes you just have to get it at launch for $60 instead of waiting, like, 10 days to get it for 50% off.
I mean, it's the developer. It's what the game is about. A lot of times, Horizon Zero Dawn is the first new IP that I've been really, really excited about in a few years. The Last of Us, I think, was one of the more recent ones. But other than that, if it's not a sequel to a game series that I really like say, Ratchet & Clank, or BioShock, or trying to think of another one. But if it's not like a game in a series that I've come to love, or if it's not like one of those rare new IPs that just strikes at me like Dead Space did back when it first came out, then I'm typically not going to buy a game at $60 anymore. I used to all the time, now I'm a little bit more savvy with my money. And there's not, honestly, in the last 5 years, there's not a lot of games that have come out that I've needed to have right away, even less so in the last few years. Like, I just don't go and buy $60 games anymore.
And just a fun fact, because you brought up The Last of Us, when they announced Last of Us, I actually wasn't, I actually didn't want to play it when they first announced it. Like, I did not, like, care. Like, I really didn't like the game, and nothing about it, like, really appealed to me when it was initially announced. And then the only reason why I bought it was because I wanted to review it, and I was friends with my neighbor, and he had a tendency to spoil games for me. So I bought it to just play it, and then I fell in love with it.
You know, I actually wrote an article, and I said, it was basically that game was going to be game of show at the E3 before its release. So I knew that they had something special with that game when it was first announced, maybe not, but as I saw more and more about it, I was like, okay, this is going to be a huge, huge release for Sony.
Yeah. But no, I just figured, because, also with the Black Friday deals that are coming up, with PlayStation VR and PS Slim and everything else, like, we don't know what deals they're going to be doing on those, so it's kind of like, I know people who are mad they didn't pre-order the PlayStation VR, and I'm like, well, you might be in luck. There might be something going on for Black Friday for it. I don't know, that's why I always hate when stuff comes out in October, November, and I want it, but I, like, try to not buy it and just hold out just in case there's going to be a deal. If I could save $10 on something, I'm good.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and close out the show with some housekeeping.
No emails or voicemails this week?
No.
Okay.
Then I'm waiting for Alex to give me the cue.
Let's clean this shit up.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. Just like there was such a silence, and then Alex comes in.
I didn't even expect it. It just came and caught me off guard.
BrewGamer.com is looking for some staff members. We're looking at some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalists help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to ProvingGamer.com, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're there, be sure to check out all of our articles and all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, they can be found on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proving Gamer. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways to get a hold of us. The first one is our phone number. Ouch, what's the number?
Yes.
330-PROVEN-9. I don't want the, don't know what those numbers correspond to, but it's 330-PROVEN-9.
330-776-8369.
Yeah.
And listeners, you heard Mark go, yes, because I didn't call in him.
I don't know the number.
I just thought if I ignored you long enough, you would just say Lucia.
That's why I was quiet. I was like, please don't ask me.
You can send us an email, trophyhorse@provinggamer.com. Contact us on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proving Gamer. You can contact the show at trophyhorse. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Alex after Extra Life at Saundersaurus Rex. You can contact Mark at the underscore Ion Vane. I keep wanting to say the Ion underscore Vane, but
well, you got it right this time, and then you.
I know. I was just.
No, I know I got it.
Yeah.
I know I got it right, but for some reason I always want to say the Ion underscore Vane. I don't know why.
Well, if we come
and you can get a hold of Yield at I Yield to No One. If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. But be sure to go listen to our other podcasts: PG Spoilers, Remember the Loot, and the Smart Marks. All the podcasts can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and. All the podcasts except for the Smart Marks can be found on TuneIn, because we still do not have approval for TuneIn for the Smart Marks yet. If you get involved on the PlayStation 4 communities, there is one for the site that's Proving Gaming, one for the show. It's T-Dub's Brothel, because Shuhei still won't want to say whores on the PlayStation 4. And you can get a hold, you can get involved in Yield's PlayStation 4 community, which is the Platinum Guild. If there's nothing else, let's close out the housekeeping, but we do have some sponsors. Our first sponsor is Extra Life.
So, November 5th is the date this year for Extra Life, and if you don't know what Extra Life is, it is an annual gaming charity event run to benefit the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. And if you wanna raise some money for some sick kids in some hospitals, all you gotta do is go to extra-life.org and go to the website, and you can sign up, you can join a team, you can create a team, or you can play solo. And when you go from there, you pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital to represent, anyone you want, just has to be in the network. And then you collect donations from friends, family, coworkers. It can be a lump sum for the entire day, or it can be a certain amount per hour, $1 per hour, $2 per hour. And after that, you just prepare for November 5th, when you will play games for 25 hours this year. And yeah, that's pretty much it. The most important thing to know is that 100% of the money that you collect, the donations, the sponsorships, will go to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital that you have opted to represent. So 100% of the donations, you're helping out some children's hospitals, and you're getting to play games for an entire day. So it really doesn't get any better than that. So mark down November 5th on your calendar. Super important day. Extra Life 2016.
All right. And Mark, why don't you tell us how they can GoFundMe?
You can go fund us at gofundme.com/provengamer. And on the site, it's basically tiers. You can donate money that'll help us, you know, get new equipment, upgrade, make this the Trophy Horse podcast just as great as it can be. There are different rewards for tiers of donating. You know, you can donate $25, and Tricky will give a show dedicated to just me and it compliments. You can donate. You know, there's just different tiers. I know. Did you edit the tiers, by the way, or did you keep them all the same? Because you mentioned 2 weeks ago you're going to edit them.
Yeah, I never did.
Okay.
But I will add them.
Yeah, so just go check it out at gofundme.com/provinggamer. See the different tiers. They will be modified and updated to reflect some new stuff that you can get for helping us out and making Trophy Horrors better.
Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you couldn't, would each and every time you do your shopping on Amazon, stop by Proving Gamer first, click on any Amazon link, and continue with your normal shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. With that being said, let's go into our shout-outs. Mark, you're first.
Shout-out to Alex and Tricky for being here this week with me, and I'm back. Just shout-out to all the listeners and everyone else who's... I've been getting more followers on Twitter lately, so it's been entertaining. And also, in 2 weeks, I will be at TwitchCon working multiple booths, which there'll be more information on social media about. So if anyone who's listening is going to be at the TwitchCon, feel free to follow me and we'll link up and I'll show you some cool stuff around San Diego.
And you'll be wearing a PG shirt?
Yeah, sure.
Alex, your shout outs.
As always, I want to thank the listeners first and foremost for fueling this show that we call Trophy Whores. We appreciate that you guys spend some time with us every week. We can't even convey how much we appreciate it. So thank you all for being listeners and just listening to us just ramble on for an hour, 2 hours. I want to give a shout out to Yield, who could not be here. Shout out to you guys, Lucian, Tricky, for joining me this week and being part of the Chewbacca onesie podcast. Had to get in there one more time before the end of the show. A shout out to Candace for coming on and being a guest host for us, and giving her thoughts on the new Metal Gear game, which, you know, doesn't seem like she's too high on it, but who knows? We'll see if she plays it. So, lastly, I want to give a shout out to my friend Avalon and Derby City Consent. You guys probably heard of it or heard about the event at Gallery K. It went down this past Friday, and God, I hate that I got some kind of a Kesha and Pitbull Timber reference in there inadvertently. But yes, the This Is My Body photo gallery. It was at Gallery K, and the photos are actually still up, so they'll be up for the next week until Friday. So if you want to go see them, you know, go to Gallery K on Barrett Avenue. But the event was a huge success. Lots of people came out to support the gallery, and lots of copies of the magazine sold. So it was a fantastic success all around. Thank you for anyone who came out. It was huge. And just a big shout out to my friend Avalon for putting so much behind this and so much effort into it and just making it such a huge success.
And I want to give a shout out to all the listeners. Give a shout out to, I know I'm going to butcher her name. And Kalai. Thank you very much for being active in the group. I do know that we asked the question in the Facebook group about which is more important. Currently, we are tied. So, we're going to let the poll go for another week.
So, what happens?
I think you got it.
What happens if Trophy Cat wins?
Then, you know, my superiority takes over and it's affirmed. Because the goddess helped tie up the score.
Sweet.
Because Alex and Yule both tried to vote and get their votes, and I said that
didn't
no
vote?
Host of votes. I did not vote. Their vote, you take off your two votes, and you take off Mark's vote, then we're even. Ha ha. Anyway, shout out to the listeners. Shout out to Alex, Mark, and shout out to Yield. If there's nothing else, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Later.
I still don't have a sign off. Literally, someone write one for me in the group chat or something in the Facebook group. Like, someone come up with something that might sign off. Like, literally, I'm not coming up with one until someone else does it for me.
Check
which
it.
Is like 90% of how my life
check,
is.
Been. Check it. You done made it through another one.
Replay.
Oh, download another one.
Continue your horno.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it. Just to forget the ray and leave a comment. And thanks for getting listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.